Well, in 1985, I was a romping, stomping preacher. Made a lot of noise, full of sound and fury. I made a lot, and I'll probably make a lot tonight. Pretty bad about being loud. But turn with me to Malachi chapter 3. John, thank you for that message. Oh, the will of God. And everybody that the Lord teaches, they go come to Christ. And I'm so thankful that He continues to teach us. I don't want to be left to myself, do you? No. I know what happened when I was left to myself. But look here with me in Malachi chapter 3. And let's start reading in verse 13. Your words, Malachi 3:16, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinance? And that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts. And now we call the proud happy, and full of pride happy. And yea, they that work wickedness, they're set up. Oh, they've got life made. Everything's just good for them. Yea, they that tempt God, are even delivered. They're saved. But then watch what he says here. Then, a different type of people here now, a different class of people altogether. Not got stout words against the Lord. Don't say it's vain to serve God. What profit is it to do anything? Verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, I will spare them as a man spareth his own son. I want to use that verse of scripture there, then they that feared the Lord. A blessed, blessed fear. What a blessed fear it is for those who fear the Lord, who fear God. Fear is a good thing. It's a good thing. You know, parents teach their children, stay away from something, stay away from this, stay away from that fire, stay away from this heat, stay away from that ditch, stay away from that place. You know, they teach them things, good things, so they'll protect them. And we learn as we get older, when we was young, we didn't have much sense, so we just do things not thinking the consequences. You grow a little bit, and then you see that you have a fear to keep you from getting hurt. Cause parents to teach, protect their children, keeps people out of danger. Has a positive, positive fear and a negative fear, two sides of fear. And then there's a fear that's a very, very bad thing. John said, there's a fear that hath torment. I know what that side of fear is. I know it very, very well. It's a bad thing. There's people that get paranoid. They think people are after them. They think people's talking about them. They think people's going to do something for them. I remember years and years ago, after I came back from Vietnam, every time I seen a sheriff's car, I said, they're coming to get me. They're coming to get me. Put me away. And that's an awful, awful state to live in. And so, you know, it's an unreasonable. It can be torment. It can be crippling. There's people that have phobias that can't get out of their house. Can't go person places, can't do things because they have such great fears. But Job said, he himself said, you know, that I feared the most came upon me. But here he says, they that feared the Lord. Oh, what a blessed, blessed fear it is to fear the Lord. That puts everything else in the background. The fear of God, what a blessed, blessed fear it is. The scripture says it's the very beginning of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Huh? When a man, God brings a man to the fear of the Lord, he's just starting to get some sense. He's just starting to learn a few things. When God brings a man to where he fears the Lord, and this fear of God is there's three things I want to tell you about God's people. The first of all, these three things about the Lord's people is that they have a reverence for God himself. It says there in verse 16, they that feared the Lord. God's people have a great, great reverence. A great respect, if I could say it. A great honor to honor God in their thoughts. Honor God in their attitude. Honor God in their words. Honor God in their minds. Honor God in their hearts. And I tell you, they that fear God. And I tell you something, we're not afraid about God. I'm not afraid of God punishing me. I'm not afraid of him punishing me. I'm not afraid of his righteous retribution towards me. This is a fear that we're talking about, which motivates us to honor him, to glorify him, to bless him, to praise him, to use his name in the most reverent, godly, holy way we possibly can. Never, ever use his name, but in the most respectful, glorious way we possibly can. Huh? And all it motivates us to honor him, no longer afraid of his presence. You know, the first man, Adam, when Adam sinned in the garden, you know what the first thing he did? He feared God. He was scared to death of God and went and hid from God. And now we are just the opposite. We want to always be in the presence of God. And here's another thing. Not only do we always want to be in the presence of God, but we're conscious that we are always in the presence of God. Ain't that right? Oh my. The fear of God influences our attitude and our disposition and our circumstances. When we have circumstances goes on around us. When we have circumstances, how you react to them? It's according to what you think about God. It's according to whether you fear God or not. If you got these circumstances around you, you say, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to deal with that? Listen, you just stand still. For I'm God, and there's none else. And you know why we, no matter what disposition we're in, what circumstances we're in, is because we fear God and trust him, and we're afraid to do anything else than trust God. I tell you, listen. And this fear of God, it affects our worship. It affects our worship. We're here tonight to worship the Lord. Oh, we're not here. Oh, listen, we worship God in reverence and godly fear. He says what Paul said to the Hebrews. He said, Hebrews 12:28, let us serve God with grace and godly reverence. Oh my, we don't get together to see who's the most spiritual, who can holler the loudest, who can give the best testimony, who can shed the most tears. No, no, no. It affects our worship. You know when people are reverencing God, and this is back when I was in religion, if people didn't holler amen, things like that, you just say, oh my goodness, you said, man, I failed. I just had nothing going on. But boy, when you learn something about God and the fear of God and the gospel and the worship of God, you want to sit there and be still before God. You want to hear what God's got to say.
Yes.
You don't have to be making a lot of noise. Huh? An empty can makes a lot more noise than a one that's full. Don't it? But oh my. You know, and then let me show you another thing about the Lord's people. Not only did they fear the Lord, but look what it says down the last part of the verse here. them that feared the Lord and listened to this and thought upon his name. They thought on his name. Oh, you talked about his name, about his will. Oh my, his name is his character. You tell a person, you know, down home they say, well, he's got an awful good name. He got a bad name. I wouldn't trust him. I wouldn't do this. But when you talk about God's name, thinking upon God's name, you automatically start thinking about a person. A person. You know, and that person has a certain character. And his name is precious. Precious. Moses stood back and said, Lord, I want to see your glory. How many times have we said that? Lord, I want to see your glory. And God said, you know what I'm going to do? He said, I'm going to put my hand over you. And then, listen to what he said. He said, I'm going to cause my goodness to pass before you. And God caused his goodness to pass before us in the black coming of his blessed Son. He caused the goodness to come before us when he went to the cross. He caused his goodness to come before us when his blood was shed on that tree. He caused his goodness to pass before us when he saw us saved us by his grace. He caused his goodness to pass before us when he come to us every time we was in need and met the heart's needs of every one of us. Oh, he caused his goodness comes by tonight. How good is it to let us call his name? How good is it to let us to meet? How good is it to let us have his word? How good is it to give us a Bible? Oh, he called his goodness to pass before us. And then he said, I'm going to proclaim my name. What is it? I will. I will. I will. I will. I will. Nobody else's wills matter. Nobody else's wills matter. Huh? And oh my, his name is precious. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and are safe. And his name is powerful. Oh, what power is in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. What power is in the name of God Almighty. You know what name we plead when we pray? You know what name that God taught us to pray in? You know what name that God said for us to approach him in? You know what name God told us we could call on him in? The name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my. That's what he said. He said, wherever two or three are gathered together in my presence, I'm right there. And oh my, here's another thing. And oh, when we talk about that, they thought upon his name. How do we describe God? How would you describe God? God describes himself by names and by titles. I forget what psalm it is, I think it's, but there's five titles of the Lord in five verses. But you know, when we talk about God, we have to describe him by titles. He calls himself Almighty. He calls himself Just. He calls himself Righteous. Calls himself Holy. Calls himself Good. Calls himself Gracious. Calls himself All-Powerful. Calls himself Eternal. Calls himself Savior. And calls himself God. And there's nobody else like me. He said, I'm God. And tell me, show me somebody that's even like me. Oh, I tell you, that's what this, he is so, oh, he's so far above us. So far beyond our understanding. But bless his holy name. He condescends to let us see him, hear him, and know him. And what a condescension it is. What a condescension it is. Oh my. He said he leads me beside the still waters. Why? For my name's sake. Oh my. You know what the seraphims call him when they gathered around him? you know what we're going to do when we get around him? Going to do just like those 24 elders and all them four beasts. Holy, holy, holy.
Amen.
That's what we're going to do. Going to be the first word out of our mouth. Holy, holy, holy. And then let me tell you, let me show you this about him. And back up here in verse 16, look what it says. Then they that feared the Lord, listen to this now, spake often one to another. We've done a lot of that today. We've done a lot of that today. I told you my experience. You said, how'd you come to learn the gospel? How'd you come to get in contact with the grace of God? You told me how you did, David. We've all had a time and a place where God crossed our paths. And now you know what we love to do? We love to speak about him and tell what he's done for us and what he did for us and when he did it. And we can tell time and time and time and time and again all that God's done for us. But that we when we get together, we talk one to another about these things. I get on the phone with my brethren. We talk about the gospel. We talk about the word. We talk about our preaching. How many times today have we talked to one another about Christ, about God, about grace, about the gospel, about preaching? In Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, they'd walk along and say, now tell me how the Lord brought you here. And they'd walk along and they'd talk to one another, you know, and they'd talk about their what God done for them. David said it like this, Psalm 66, verse 16. He said, come all you that fear the Lord, and I'm going to tell you the great things he hath done for me. where do you start? Where do you start? Where do we start when we start talking about God? Where do we start when we talk about him saving us? I didn't even exist when the Lord bore my sins. I didn't even exist when Christ died for me. The world didn't exist when God chose us in Christ. That's just a couple of things I'm saying. And those have to do with things that if we didn't have the Word of God, we wouldn't know any of that. We wouldn't know any of it. Oh my. And you know how long we're gonna speak often to one another? About every time we talk. About every time we talk. All right, let me give you this. There's three things about the Lord's people. They reverence him. They think upon his name. They're very thoughtful. And their testimony is they spake about him, one another about him. Now let's give you three things about the Lord in these verses. Verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another. And listen to this. And the Lord hearkened and heard it. What does that mean when we're talking to one another? He's listening. He's got his ear turned. He's paying attention to us. He's listening to what we got to say. The Lord hearkened and heard. Huh? I heard Scott Richardson preach a message in Babscott, West Virginia. That's been many a moon ago. Earl Cochran was up there. And Scott preached from Psalm 116, 1 and 2. He said, I love the Lord. He said, you know why I love the Lord? Because the Lord inclined his ear and listened to what I had to say. The Lord listened to me, heard my... You know, have you ever seen an old timer, you know, before they had hearing aids, they'd put their hand behind their ear and turn like that so they could hear. We used to have a couple people in our congregation to do that. They'd turn sideways, you know, and cup their ears so they could hear. That's what God says. He says, you know, the Lord inclined What did you say? I said, Lord, I'm talking about you. Oh, I hear you. I hear you. I hear everything you say. I know what you're saying. I know exactly what you're saying. Oh, my. He listened. Oh, the Lord hearkened and heard. Oh, what does he hear us say sometimes? Of all the things I'm ashamed of that I've ever done in my life, the things that I said about God before he taught me the gospel, before he revealed Christ to me, was the things I said about him. Huh? And he heard every one of them. He heard every one of them. He hears what's said about himself. I think that's the most important thing that when he listens to. What do we say about him? What did we say about him? What do we say about him? Huh? Oh. What do we say about him? Do we say he's almighty? Do we say he's sovereign? Do we say his will's going to be done? An old man the other day told me all he could talk about, he was real, real sick in the hospital, and all he could talk about was what the Lord had done for him. He didn't deserve anything, but the Lord done this, Lord done that, Lord done. That's all he could talk about. All he could talk about is what the Lord had done. That's all he could talk about. And David said it like this. He says, there are more than could be numbered. I can't reck them up in order, and there are more than could be numbered. Where are you going to start numbering? Oh, bless his name. He hears what we say about him. And let me tell you, he not only hears what we say about him, he hears what we think about him.
That's right.
Huh? Let me ask you something. Can we exalt God enough in our mind, in our thoughts, in our hearts, in our souls? Can we exalt him enough? Can we put him too high? Not only does he hear what we say about him, but he hears what we say about one another. Do you know that? Oh, be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. The Lord's listening. The Lord hearkened. And Lord's interested in our words. It says this about, by thy words thou shalt be justified. By thy words thou shalt be condemned. A good man out of the treasure of his heart, he brings forth good things. But an evil man, he can't. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I tell you, he hears what we say about one another. And that's why we got to be very, very careful. Always speak highly of the Lord's people. Oh, if they hurt your feelings, turn the other cheek.
Yes, sir.
You'll get over it. You'll get over it. They hurt your feelings. You'll get over it. Won't you? If I had my feelings, if every time I had my feelings hurt, I went with my jaw down like that, my jaw would be like that all the time. I'm easy. My feelings are easily offended. You can tell, can't you? But no, what I'm telling you is that whatever happens, be very careful what you say about one another. Brag on one another. Lift one another up. If somebody hurts you, somebody says something, somebody mistreats you some way, take it to the Lord. You tell the Lord about it. And ask the Lord to help you, not them, you, me. We're the ones who need help. Now, the Bible don't tell us how you're supposed to treat me. It tells me how I'm supposed to treat you. All right, here's another one. Not only did he hearken and hear, but look what it says there in this verse again. The Lord hearkened, heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear the Lord. Oh, a book of remembrance. You reckon God needed really, you know, he puts language that we can grasp, that we can understand. We can understand the book. Here's a book of remembrance right here. Here's a book that God wrote. But you know, he had a book of remembrance was written before him for those that feared the Lord. You know, there's a couple of books in the Bible. There's one called the Book of Life. Paul told the Philippians, he mentioned a couple of people and said, they whose names are written in the Book of Life. And then there's the Lamb's Book of Life that was written before the foundation of the world. And I do know this. Some things is not put in this book. Let me tell you, I told you, I know one thing's not put in that book. Our sin's not in it. God said, I'll not remember their sins anymore. Our sins are not in that book. No, they're not in there. No, they're not in there. And let me tell you something else. You look at the Old Testament saints and all the things that they did. And then you look in the New Testament. When you look at their names mentioned in the New Testament, their names is always by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. Noah got drunk, but you don't read about it in the New Testament. Abraham dishonored his wife, but you don't read about it in the New Testament. Huh? That's what, you know why that is? Because it's Christ died for them and God does not remember his people's sins. Huh? David's mentioned. You don't hear anything about how bad he was, but here's David. He subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness. Oh my. And I tell you things, listen. Their Old Testament saints, they're not in that though. But I tell you what, I tell you some things he does remember. He remembered us from eternity. He knew us before we ever were. Huh? And then because he remembered us there, he comes along and he remembers us in time. And in time, he sends us the gospel across our paths. With the grace of God, with a preacher. And oh my. And I tell you what, he's going to, I do know this, he isn't going to get out his book and start reading. Said, now listen, I remember that real, real good thing you did. Huh? Oh no. I remember them good words you said. I remember them kind deeds you did. No, none of that's going to be in there. No. You keep this here. Look with me on Psalm 139. I want you to see this. Talking about God's book. God's book. I don't have a clue how long I've been preaching. But I'm not going to quit till I'm done. you know, they tell me at home. They're going to break all the clocks. But oh, you know us preachers, we'll get awful long-winded if you ain't careful. But oh, look what he was talking about the book now. Look what it says here about the book. Look in verse 15 of Psalm 139. My substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret before I was ever formed and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Listen to this. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuous were fashioned when as yet one of them didn't even exist. For they ever existed. I put you and everything about you in the book. Huh? And you know, here's the thing about it. Like you was talking about the Armenians and freewheelers. They say, well, now God's going to put your name in the book of life tonight. But now if you don't live right, he'll scratch it out. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God accommodates us in his language. The only books that matter. And these are the books that everybody's going to be judged out of. This right here.
Yes, sir.
That's the one that's going to be judged. And you know how long the judgment of God's going to take?
Just like that.
He ain't going to have to remind anybody what they did. Judgment's already set. Judgment begins at the house of God. But let me go on here now. Let's go back over here then to this, and let me show you the last thing. The last thing. God, you know, we talked about a book of remembrance, and he heard us and hearkened to us, listens to us. He said, my ear is not short Neither is my ears not heavy, my arms short. He told in another place, talking about his hearingness, he said, he that made the eye, shall he not see? And he that made the ear, shall he not hear? Huh? But look what else it says now. And down in verse 17, I love this. And he's so faithful. And they shall be mine.
Yes, sir.
They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts. They shall be mine when I make up my jewels. You took quoted John, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me. Well, boy, he sinned off a bad. I'm not casting him out. He said a bad word. I'm not casting him out. He didn't think of me all day long. I'm not going to cast him out. I'm not going to cast him out. No, no. And I tell you what, he said, they shall be mine. The foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knows them that are his. And look what he says, they shall be mine. Mine. They're going to be mine to choose. They're going to be mine to love. They're going to be mine to save. They're going to be mine to keep. They're going to be mine to feed. They're going to be mine to teach. They're going to be mine to lead. They're going to be mine to glorify one of these days. Father, I will that they whom thou hast given me be with me, that they may behold my glory, which I had with you before the world was. They shall be mine. It's mine. You know, little kids do that all the time. That's mine, that's for sure. Somebody kid tell you, that's mine, that's mine, that's mine. God says, that's mine, that's mine. That one's mine. That one's mine. That one over there is mine. Oh, mine. Oh, my. To keep us, to feed us, to glorify us. And then, you know, he says, in the day when I make up my jewels. You know what it says in the margin? Special treasure. You know, we say, boy, we ain't worth nothing. I tell folks down home, they say, you ain't worth the salt goes in your biscuit. I don't know if y'all have ever heard that or not. You know, he ain't worth it. Just so many things that people say. But God says about us, we wouldn't say this about ourselves at all for nothing in this world. But God says, when I make up my jewels, my special treasure. Oh my. And he says, and this is what I'm going to do for them. I will spare them. I'm going to spare them. I'm going to spare them a lot of heartache. I'm going to spare them a lot of suffering. I'm going to spare them. I'm going to spare them from sin. I'm going to spare them from judgment. I'm going to spare them. I'm going to spare them from my wrath. And he said, as the son that serveth him. And you know why he spares us? Because he did not spare his own son. He spared him not, but delivered us up. Him all. Huh? Spared us, but didn't spare him. Huh? Oh. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. Bless his holy, holy name. No one like him. Thank you all very much for letting me come.